This Arts Calendar update is brought to you by CJAM FM, redefining radio in Windsor and Detroit.
It's time for You Talking to Me with your host, Big JD.
That's right. Welcome to You Talking to Me. I'm your host, Big JD. As many of you know, the CJAM Jammy Awards are upon us. Voting ends Saturday, March 31st, so everyone get your votes in. You can find out how to do that by visiting cjam.ca and make sure you vote in three categories for your ballot to count. The awards are April 7th at FM Lounge, starts at 8 p.m., awards at 9, and Chrissy Cochran plays at 10. And I'll see you all there. With Autism Awareness Day just around the corner, I'm joined today by some authorities on the subject of Autism Spectrum Disorder, ASD, including parents of autistic children. My guests today include Michael Risk and Heather Howie of Autism and Us, Rita Michelli of the Windsor-Essex chapter of Autism Ontario, Livia Conji, who is a parent of a child with ASD, and we're also joined by Dr. Elizabeth Starr, who specializes in special education as well as teaches here at the U Windsor as a professor here, and it's an excellent panel we have here today, so please welcome all my guests. It's great to have you all here. Welcome.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Dr. Starr, can you maybe explain autism to us? And it also refers to a wider spectrum, as it's called, so maybe you can tell us more about the spectrum as well.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, autism spectrum disorders is really a variety of different disorders, and individuals who have autism spectrum disorders could range from really being quite low functioning to being really high functioning, and kind of everything in between as well. So the main difficulties that individuals have tends to be in three areas, and that's in terms of communication, both spoken, so verbal and nonverbal communication. So by nonverbal communication, I mean gestures and eye contact and understanding gestures and interpreting them. And then in social, social reciprocity. So with high-functioning kids, sometimes it's really difficult for them to know how to be a friend, what do friends do, that sort of thing, just knowing how really to relate to other people. And then the third area is in the area of behavior, and by repetitive behavior. So again, how it looks really depends on whether the individual is high or low functioning. So at the low functioning end, individuals might have a lot of repetitive behavior, so flapping their arms or sort of looking at lights and flicking their fingers or that sort of repetitive behavior. And they might have a really intense interest in ceiling fans or toilets flushing or sort of very odd kinds of things. But then at the high end of the range, those individuals might have interests in train schedules or severe weather, tornadoes, that kind of thing. And they'll have a very deep knowledge, more than anybody would normally have unless they are an expert in that area.
Right.
So it can really range depending on whether the child's high functioning or low functioning.
And Rita, you're co-president of Autism Ontario, the Essex Windsor chapter.
That's correct.
Okay. And as well, you're a professor in the Autism and Behavioral Science graduate program at St. Clair College. You're also a mom of four children, one of which has ASD. Tell us about Autism Ontario and how you became involved.
Well, I first became involved when my son got diagnosed, and that was at the age of 3, and he's presently 16 years old, so we've been involved for quite some time. Autism Ontario is the leading source of information and referral on autism, and it's one of the largest collective voices representing the autism community. Our vision is acceptance and opportunities for all individuals with ASD, and our mission is to ensure that each individual with ASD is provided the means to achieve a quality of life as a respected member of society. And our areas of focus are advocacy, support, research, best practices, government relations, and also public awareness.
Thank you. And Olivia, you're also a parent of an autistic child. And what were some of the challenges you faced when you were first told your child had this disorder?
I think some of the biggest challenges were just dealing with the emotions. You feel helpless, angry, alone, scared, overwhelmed, and confused. There's just a lot of treatments out there, and you're not sure what to do and or when to do it. You're also just trying to understand what autism is and how it's going to affect your child's future and your family's future, because you need to find a new norm for what their whole life is going to look like, because every aspect of your life changes once you receive that kind of diagnosis.
Now, did you seek immediate aid in some way? Like, were you in, like, as far as the organizations are concerned or anything like that, were you referred to go talk to somebody there?
They were referred to a lot of places, different government organizations, plus like Autism Ontario and things, but there's a substantial amount of paperwork for parents and a huge wait list, and that in itself can be very overwhelming to any parent.
And Heather, you're also a parent of a child with ASD, and when did you start Autism and Us? And as a parent, what did you feel the need was when you started that?
Well, we started Autism and Us because we found Windsor is one of the larger chapters in Ontario, and we raise a lot of money for our community, but not all the chapters across Ontario do, and they usually don't have the means to be able to get items that they can use as fundraisers. Mm-hmm. So we decided, let's do something that's new and creative, offer some things that are consumable so people want to keep getting them over and over again. And by doing that, we would take the burden on designing and purchasing, and then from the purchases of other people that they would, in turn, we would donate money back to the chapters of their choice. Mm-hmm. So even if there was a grandmother out in Alberta and they wanted the Windsor-Essex chapter to get it, they can let us know that and we'll send that to them. So we offered it up to all the chapters across Canada, in fact.
Right. Excellent idea. And Rita, what are some of the services offered by Autism Ontario?
Autism Ontario supports chapters in most communities across Ontario, all of which are under the leadership of committed and skilled volunteers who organize and support parent and parent contact. They also offer official SEAC representation, which is Special Education Advisory Committee representation for ASD within the school boards, and public awareness. We also offer the Potential Program, which is most people know it as the RCP program. The new name now is Potential Program, which provides support throughout greater access to ASD experts. It provides supportive community-based learning opportunities for children with ASD, and also it organized many community events. So locally, as our chapter, we fundraise, as Heather had mentioned, on a regular basis to help provide funds to families, mainly during the summer months to be used like for recreational activities such as camps, swimming, horseback riding, or one-to-one support. And our biggest fundraiser is the Give Your Heart to Autism Gala, which is very well known in our community. And we also have the Visions of Autism calendar, which has been well received as well in our community. And another big one is the Oz for Autism Golf Tournament.
You also have four children altogether, and I want to ask you about sibling relationships and, you know, where one is different than the others. What are your thoughts on how a parent might explain autism to the other siblings?
My children were very, close in age, mm-hmm. so they're very young, so it was difficult to explain at a young age. But autism doesn't just affect the sibling. It affects the family members, but most significantly, the siblings. There are more pressures for the siblings, more responsibilities for children, siblings of children with autism. As well, research indicates that siblings are more mature and compassionate, more so than other typically developing children. And they also have the responsibility of caring for their sibling afterwards. So for me, it was difficult to explain at that age, but I've seen that my three girls embrace their brother. They wholeheartedly love him tremendously. They, watch out for him constantly, because that's all they've ever known.
Right.
Is we work together as a family. We love everyone. We work together with whoever needs help. We help them. And so it's worked well in our family. So
Michael, as Heather mentioned, that Autism and Us kind of relieves some of the pressure, I guess, of other local organizations, primarily helping to raise money. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the items that are sold through Autism and Us through the website?
Sure.
Are the vendors local? Are the vendors or some of them local as well?
No.
Okay.
It's us. Yeah. No, anyway, we sell our fresheners and puzzle piece pens and T-shirts and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. And the autism community voted upon 12 zinger sayings for these shirts. I think number one was like, I am unique, or I am possibilities, and without me, the
puzzle's incomplete.
Mm-hmm. And we're also selling stainless steel spinner rings, and they're known as anxiety rings, calming rings, which seem to help. I know on our child Benjamin uses that all the time, and it helps relieve stress for him, keeps him calm. And sell a whole slew of 316L surgical stainless steel items, moved up into tungsten titanium items now, and people are finding us on Kijiji right now, but I'm in the midst of adding these products also to our Autism and Us website.
Mm-hmm. And Heather, as far as the website and fundraising ideas, are there any new things that you guys plan to implement?
Well, we're actually working with the University of Windsor with Dr. Copti on some technology and this product, which we can't say too much about because it's in the development stages, should be launched.
You heard it here first, folks.
January
2013. So we're working really hard, and we really think it's going to have a positive impact, not only for people with autism, but anyone with special needs.
Yeah.
So that's our big thing that we're working on right now.
Wide spectrum we're going to cover.
Yeah, and we've started also working towards doing inks and toners because we're just fed up with paying the prices. So we found a manufacturer so we can offer them at a more reasonable price. And again, a portion of our proceeds go back to autism.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, as does the jewelry sales.
Yeah.
Rita, you said your son has taught you so much, so many great things about life. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
As a mother, I think we learn so much from all of our children, but specifically with him, I'd have to say how strong a mother's love is and what you can accomplish from that love that, mm-hmm. that keeps you going, and the desire to help and really give him the best that life has to offer in every way. But more, I think above all, is the patience that you seem to find within you, and understanding and all of those things that you know you have within you, but just tremendously come out. And I as a teacher, he's taught me so many great things of you know, different teaching strategies and what works for different children. And I owe that all to him.
Mm-hmm. And Livia, again, from a parent's perspective, do you or others you know that go through life kind of questioning autism, or is there a point where is there always a point where everybody accepts that, or you know, is there like self-blame or anything like that comes into play, and kind of how to maybe you or anybody you know deal with that kind of thing?
I think there are some people that never accept it, and they mm-hmm. just are constantly in denial, or they're wondering why my child, or what could I have done differently. But unfortunately, doing that is not helping the child in any way or allowing them to reach their potential. The sooner we can embrace it, we can get earlier intervention and help them reach their potential and embrace all that autism has to offer.
Yeah, and I guess you have to realize as a parent or a parent's family that it's not necessarily about you now. It's about the child. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how you have to kind of put some of your feelings aside, I guess, and deal with those other things that you got to. Dr. Starr, over time, mm-hmm. can autistic children develop those skills they lack? Can they learn better communication skills and develop better social skills? And has anyone ever been cured of autism?
Certainly, they can learn social skills and communication. This is what's so important with education, so important with early intervention, so important that schools and teachers understand and know how to teach kids with autism. And also, the teaching techniques are not, it's not as though these are teaching techniques you can only use with children with autism. They're sort of, quote, good for all kids as well, but they are essential for kids with autism. But absolutely, some kids go from being nonverbal to being very verbal. Some kids don't. And it's very difficult to say, and often parents will want to know when their child's getting diagnosed, which is very traumatic to get that diagnosis, even if it was suspected. And especially nowadays, there's so much more awareness of autism that parents say, well, you know, I really did know that it was probably going to be autism, but then they got the actual diagnosis, and it's quite devastating at the beginning, and then they begin reading and so on. But one of the things they'll ask is, so is my child ever going to talk? Because they might be 3 or 4 right now, and they're not talking, and it's very difficult. You can't say, as a professional, you know, they say that if they don't talk by 7, then they'll never learn to talk, but that's not necessarily true. Some kids have learned to talk later. They'll talk to limiting degrees. It's just very difficult. And certainly the social skills as well. And they learn coping strategies as well for their behaviors. Like, I know in terms of wearing headphones can really help kids. And which is, I know Heather was talking about this before the program. And things like that. So there can be a lot of coping strategies. Having visual schedules, using a lot of visual supports, can really help so that then the behaviors are, the person is being able to self-regulate and control themselves. So absolutely, they can learn. Now, is there recovery? Again, you said, is there a cure? And really the term cure isn't used. Some kids... there's some parents might say, yes, my child's completely recovered from autism and they're indistinguishable from their peers. Other professionals say, well, we can't really talk recovery. We can say they've just increased so far, but there can be tremendous gains. And and certainly there have been some studies that say, look, my child, you can't tell them apart. So it's very individual. And I guess that's what's so sort of the mystery of autism, too, is because it is so individual. And just because, and probably the best saying to do with autism is sort of like, once you've met one child with autism, you've met one child with autism, mm-hmm. because they're so individual. And prognosis can just really differ. So, which, of course, is where a lot of the research is why do some kids do better than other kids and that sort of thing.
And sort of about that, can autism be misdiagnosed or other disorders thought to be autism? It seems like so many aspects of autism might fall under other areas of communication and behavioral disorders.
Very true, very true. And certainly it can be misdiagnosed. In the beginning, sometimes it's thought, well, does my child have a hearing loss? Because often they're not responding to language. And often that's the very first test that physicians will do, is to rule out a hearing loss because they don't respond. You could, clap very loudly behind their ear and it's just like they're completely deaf. But there could also be, could be very selective, because there could be some of their favorite candy wrapped in a wrapper and they hear the wrapper crinkling in the next room and they're there like a bullet. Mm-hmm. So sometimes it can be like that. But the lack of response to name, often you say their name very loudly and sometimes they still don't respond to it. So again, that deafness. So it might be thought, well, maybe they're deaf. Possibility is, and certainly lots of kids will have symptoms of obsessive compulsive disorder, and in fact they might get a diagnosis of obsessive compulsive disorder with autism spectrum disorder and ADHD for that matter. It can co-occur. It used to be thought that there's another developmental disorder called Fragile X syndrome, and that used to be thought as the main cause of autism, but now they know it's not. So sometimes they might get a diagnosis of that. So it can vary. In the past, autism was considered synonymous with childhood schizophrenia, and it's not at all. It's a completely different kind of disorder. But certainly... there just can be the lack of speech development. Again, is it a speech disorder technically, or is it autism spectrum disorder? But it's that combination of those three difficulties, three areas of behavior, communication, and social. And it's together that's what makes autism.
And Rita, you're also an educator, and your email signature I wanted to ask you about, because in your signature it says, if the child is not learning the way you are teaching, then you must teach in the way the child learns. Can you tell us about the importance of modifying curriculum to better suit the needs of a special student?
Absolutely, and that is so true. Ultimately, we want all children to be successful, and so children with special needs are no different. Modifying curriculum, like I said, is extremely important because we want them to achieve a success. So focusing on the child's strengths is extremely important, and children with autism are all so different, so you have to see what their strengths are and ultimately capitalize on the best learning practices for them. For example, as Dr. Starr said, if a child's a visual learner, then the visual supports are very, very helpful in a classroom. And, you know, ultimately, reaching their greatest potential is what is important. So adapting it for them is what will make that a possibility.
And Livia, you're educated in IBI, that's Intensive Behavioral Intervention, and hold an ABS Applied Behavioral Services Diploma. Can you tell us a little bit about Intensive Behavioral Intervention, and are these would this be a course that you would recommend to like any parent?
It's a year full-time course, the one that's offered. It's offered through most colleges. It definitely is a beneficial course. You do learn a lot. And you do learn about IBI, which is based on the principles of ABA, Applied Behavior Analysis, which is the science of the behavior. An IBI program relies on differential reinforcement, intensity, and consistency. Each program is individualized for the learner with their strengths and weaknesses in mind. You need to start it as early as possible, and it goes from 20 to 40 hours a week for usually 2 to 3 years. And it can teach any skills from communication, play, social, and life skills, as well as academics. At this time, IBI is the only treatment that's offered by the Ontario government that they will assist you with, but they have long, long waiting lists, and it could cost a family anywhere from $40,000 to $60,000 per year to run a program.
And Dr. Starr, we've heard, you know, stories and seen films like Rain Man, and you did mention this a little bit as far as an autistic child or person being very intelligent as far as some aspects go. And can you tell us a little bit more about that, and do we know why that is?
In terms of just having, you know, really strong skills in some areas?
Strong skills in some areas. You mentioned severe weather and sometimes mathematics and certain things that most everyday people wouldn't even have a grasp of.
Right. And that's the high-functioning end of Asperger's syndrome. Sort of two different things here that I'll mention. Okay. But Asperger's syndrome, where people have at least an average intellectual ability and can be gifted. They may or may not be gifted, but at least that's part of the definition, really, for Asperger's syndrome at the high end of the spectrum. And really it's sort of concentration, and this is just an intense interest. And like anyone can have an interest in, you know, having hobbies. That's an intense interest. The difference with individuals with Asperger's syndrome is it can be not really have a social component to it, like going to clubs and so on, but be so intense in what they do. But then something different than that is when we have what we call savants, and those are people whose ability is just extraordinary, and often in the face of really severe difficulties in other areas. They might be almost nonverbal, yet their artistic ability to draw is just mind-blowing.
And these things aren't necessarily learned. They're just there?
It's not like they have classes in it or anything like that. Right. It's just there. Mm-hmm. There's a story of a five-year-old, Nadia, who did these amazing sketches. She was totally nonverbal, and these amazing sketches of horses and she was right on to horses, and she was 5 years old. And I mean, I'm still stuck at stick figure drawing, and I'm not 5 years old. So truly amazing. And other people, Stephen Wiltshire is a young man, English man, and he can have these sketches, and he'll be in a helicopter, for example, over a city for 40 minutes, and then he's left with this mural that is like 3 yards wide or so, and he over 3 days will sketch the city, and he's right, and it's this amazing sketch. Now his sketches and so on sell for thousands and thousands of dollars now. So they don't really understand why people are able to do this. There have been various books and trying to have studies, and people themselves can't explain. It's like you can't explain how you do something. You just do it. Mm-hmm. But not everybody has that. Sometimes there's a myth that everybody's like that, and that's really only about 10% of people might have savant mm-hmm. skills. But it's fascinating when you see it, that's for sure.
And Heather, can you tell us a little bit about Autism Awareness Day and possibly Autism Awareness Month? Is that celebrated the same here in Canada as it is U.S.?
Yes, actually, it was funny when I was talking to some people to come on board for this interview, and they're saying, well, in Canada, our Autism Awareness Month is in October. Mm-hmm. And in I just looked at it as, you know what? We are listening, Detroit and Windsor, we're Canadian, U.S. The more we can educate people, it doesn't matter what country. It's global, basically.
And in Australia, it's on April 2nd.
Oh, see, there we go. So it's out there. So anything that gets awareness out about autism is key. It's 1 in 110. Like, if you look at those statistics, people hear that and think, oh, well, that's not. But when they look at the other statistics of other things, like childhood cancer or MS, man, oh, man, our children are being affected. And the research and information that needs to get out there to people to understand and be able to put forth funding for more research so that we can really get a handle on this.
Yep, that's great. And, of course, you guys are all doing that in some way, and hoping I am as well today with the show.
Sure.
can you, Heather, give us your website?
It's www.autism-and-us.com. And we are actually in for the month of April, we're doing a BOGO for everyone. Buy one, get one, 50% off. Mm-hmm. And again, our proceeds go to autism. So anyone is welcome to come to the website, and we'll be updating for ring sizers and stuff with the spinner rings and all of that.
No, it's partial proceeds, by the way.
And Rita, can you let us know where people can find more information on Autism Ontario?
They can even just Google Autism Ontario, and all the chapters will come up, and click on the Windsor Essex chapter for more information, for events, for what is being offered as far as workshops or, and like I said, our potential program offerings and things like that. So,
do you have anything special going on for Autism Awareness Day?
You know,
or
what?
Month?
For us, autism is every day, so we have.
I mean, any
particular?
Okay, you have events going on all the time.
The Oz golf tournament
Oz
is the biggest thing right now.
Yeah, that's the coming.
We're
up,
looking for sponsors, anyone that can donate door prizes, anything to help out, even come as a team.
Well, it's definitely something I should ask you about is volunteers and things like that. You're probably looking for people lots of times
all
for different
time,
events.
All
things.
The time. We have, you know, all of our
they
events, we extra hands helping with the kids is always important.
Mm-hmm.
Fundraising, because we are a non-for-profit organization, and all of the people that are involved at Autism Ontario are volunteers. So we can never have enough volunteers. We need lots for lots of events and lots of things.
So students that need their 40 hours of community service, if they want to step up to the plate,
check out your
that
website.
Would be awesome.
And Dr. Stark, could we maybe get a last comment from you regarding local autism awareness?
Essentially, the more awareness, the better, as everybody has been saying. And it's awareness that also that these children with autism turn into adults with autism. And it's not just a childhood disorder by any means. And that means awareness of the public in terms of job placements for supported employment, awareness of places, living arrangements for adults with autism. That's a huge thing. Awareness at school for teachers and educational assistants, and understanding the awareness to knowledge for appropriate education and intervention. And basically, as Rita says, because we want all the kids to grow up and to achieve their potential, and that's going to be through awareness and understanding.
Appreciate everybody being on the show. Thank you very much for your time today.
I
hope listeners will get a chance to take part in events happening on and around April 2nd, Autism Awareness Day, and I'm glad to be able to have contributed in some way with today's show. And you can check the You Talking to Me website for links to today's guests and future guests, of course. Go to youtalkingtome.ca. That's the letter U, talking, the number 2, me.ca. And next week, Dave Bracewell from the local band Acoustic Fire joins me in the studio. We'll be sure to make sure that he brings his guitar along for an in-studio music session. And I'll see you then. I'm Big JD. Thanks for listening.